This episode is brought to you by Stephanie B. Thank you for your support. It really inspired me and encouraged me, and I'm very grateful. We're about to start listening to a conversation that I had with a colleague, and in the beginning, I completely blank on what I want to say, and I feel a little embarrassed about it, but I decided to leave it in without editing it because I want it to be a testament to the fact that we're all on a learning journey, and that we're all going to make mistakes, and that it's just part of the process. So thank you for understanding and for being patient with me, and I hope you enjoy. Hello. Welcome to Part-Time at Lambda School. I am your host, Ira Sanchez. And today with me, I have a very special guest. Part-Time at Lambda School is a podcast where we discuss what it's like studying part-time at Lambda School. And today, my guest is one of those students who also studies part-time at Lambda School. And she's also my colleague when we are working on our internship during the day. So please welcome Jackie Atwood. Hey, Jackie, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing
today? Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. As we were talking about right before, this you're my first interview for the podcast, but I've been very excited at the idea of talking to other part-time students and just letting the world know a little bit what that's like. So before we discuss some of the details about the part-time curriculum or your experience in part-time, let's just talk about you and why Lambda School? Why not a different school, and why coding, or, you know, how did Jackie even get here?
Well, so I used to be a veterinary surgical nurse, and I just got a little bit burnt out, I guess. My ex-husband works in the IT field. He's a test engineer for General Dynamics. Had always pushed me, hey, you should, you know, try this coding, try this. And I always thought I wasn't smart enough. One day we were laying in bed, and he was struggling to understand what a for loop was when he was first starting out. And he explained it to me, and I understood it, so I explained it back to him. And right there, he was like, you can do this, you understand this. Shortly after that, I started some just Codecademy things. I earned myself some certificates, worked myself through a couple free code camp things, started studying Java, and I built a Java calculator. Shortly after that, he found Lambda School, actually. I tried looking for other schools as well, but there weren't any that met all of the things that I was looking for. Somebody that wasn't going to take my money up front, because financially I just couldn't afford it. Somebody that was going to teach me the whole full stack track, not just, you know, elements of it, whether it was, you know, front end or back end. I wanted somebody that was going to teach me all of it. I also needed something that was online. They met all of my criteria, and then they accepted me. So that was kind of a bonus.
Right. It certainly helps if you get into the school, you know, attending classes. And one thing that really stuck out to me was, oh my goodness, I'm brain farting so hard. I'm so sorry. one thing that stuck out to me about So one thing that stuck out to me that I hear a lot, that I felt a lot in the beginning too, was that you felt like you weren't smart enough
to do it. That was big for me, yeah.
Do you mind sharing a little bit more about why you thought that and what you think about that now as someone who's, I mean, you've made several projects as part of where you are in the curriculum, and how do you feel about it now?
Well, so I guess I'll just kind of go back to the beginning. I had undiagnosed ADHD as a child. School was very hard for me. The structure, you know, the day-to-day, trying to learn everything when my brain just was not receptive to new concepts was very difficult. And then having to, you know, regurgitate them back to pass a test was very difficult in that structured setting. So I think that plays into why I am successful now, is that I get to learn on my own terms. There's obviously lectures, but if the lecture doesn't work for me, I can go find, you know, an interactive tutorial or something like that, and I'm able to learn on my own terms. But because I did struggle so greatly in grade school, I think that's why I never believed in myself that I was smart enough. I thought there was something, you know, deep down wrong with me that I wasn't smart enough to be able to figure these things out. But I think it was just the wrong learning environment for me.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I know for me, I dropped out of university to be here. So, and I was not good at university when I was doing it. So, so I definitely relate to not fitting into a structured environment. One of the critiques that the school gets sometimes, like even in the Slack itself, like when students are sort of upset with how things are going for themselves or whatever, or even just like in the online drama that I hear or read about, is that you could teach yourself all this, right? Like arguably you could. Everything that Lambda School teaches you is available on the internet. It's part of the internet. And just like anything else on the internet, you can find it. Is there a reason, because you said you tried out Free Code Camp and stuff, is there a reason why like you opted to go for a paid program as opposed to something totally free and DIY?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, going back to the ADHD, I was flooded with information. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where would be a good place to start to lead me into the next thing. If you just blindly start learning things and you don't learn them in an articulate order, it's not going to make sense. So the fact that they offered me structure, but also somebody to kind of hold me accountable. You know, I have that accountability. Nobody, when I was doing it on my own, nobody was forcing me to say, okay, it's time to study. So if I have the choice between studying and playing Xbox, I'm going to pick Xbox, unfortunately. So it offers me that structure that I need, but also the flexibility that I'm able to learn in the way that helps me. And that is what's so magical about Lambda School, honestly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The structure was really, because I tried Free Code Camp too, and I've been on there for years. But you'll see that my activities, you know, sort of scatterplot is all over the place. So I hear you. The structure is super, it's super helpful. I don't even know, like, I'm not sure what I would do without our TL groups and things like that. Don't get me wrong. Like I have not always had good TLs. Not all TLs are made the same. And I don't like saying that now because I'm a TL and that sort of means like indirectly talking smack about someone I might know and work with. I don't mean it like that. I just mean to say that, you know, we're all learning and growing. And the first time I do something, I usually suck at it. So, so like, what if it's someone's first time being a TL, or what if they still have a lot of room for improvement? You know, and they're your TL during that time. Even in that case, just the schedule, the fact that there's attendance, the fact that you have to submit forms at a certain time, because like even if your TL sucks, like your TL supervisor might reach out to you eventually, right? All that was super helpful to me. In a way, we're like success coaches to the students as TLs. You opted for part-time as opposed to full-time. And that's one of the reasons why I invited you to come hang out and, you know, and talk with me and whatnot. How come part-time?
There was actually a lot of factors. I was originally in the full-time track and I loved it. It was intense, for that is, you know, to say the least. But I also wanted to be a TL. I was told many times by several different TLs that I have a unique ability where I can take information, kind of mull it over, and then spit it out in a way that makes sense to other people. I used to help out in after hours a lot. And the way that I would break things down just tended to make sense. I don't know why that is the case. It's just a little skill, I guess, that I have. So I started, you know, really considering that position. And in order to be a TL without having to pause my student status, I needed to go to part-time. I also, when we started getting into the Redux and the harder aspects of React, I did find myself struggling a little bit and noticed that I benefited from more time with the material. Because I don't work during the day, my daughter's at school, I had that free time available during the day for extra study. for extra games. I don't mean video games, but extra JavaScript, you know, learning games, you know, extra videos, extra tutorials, extra Udemy courses. And now that's what I do during the day or during my free time is I do some extra studying and then I class at night. Of course, I do TL during the day for the full time. But so there was a lot of different factors that went into it. Honestly, I was considering going to part-time before the TL position even came up, simply because I wanted more time with the material. It kind of splits it in two, you know, double the time. It does lengthen my school time, but I feel like in the long run, it will make me a better developer because I will have a firmer grasp on the concepts.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's interesting because you don't always meet someone who's been a full-time student and a part-time student before. I've been in a similar circumstance, except when I was in full time, it was so much has changed that it feels irrelevant to the current curriculum and the current experience, which is one of the reasons why I'm really excited to hear about that. What was it like transitioning from being a full time student to a part time student? Because I know as a TL, I used to TL in part time and I TL in full time now with you, as you know. But I can tell you that the TL experience is hugely different. The student experience is different, but part of me thinks it might be different because Lambda makes a lot of changes anyway. So I'm curious as to what it's like as a student switching from full-time to part-time.
Well, there's a lot of moving pieces to that question. My biggest thing was the camaraderie and the accessibility. Those were two adjustments that I had to make, and I'll elaborate on those. But the transition itself was fairly painless. Student Success stepped in. I made the request to move over, and it was pretty swift and painless. Like I said, the adjustment was probably the biggest thing. There seems to be a lot less camaraderie in the part-time cohorts than there is with the full-time.
And yeah, I feel and hear that a lot too. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because people aren't in there full time. So they have lives and jobs and things going on during the day. And this is a part-time gig. Whereas in the full-time cohort, this is all they do basically. So I feel like, you know, we're in this struggle together all day long, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours a day. Whereas part-time is more, dare I say, an afterthought. You know, I don't want to, you know, diminish the dedication of the part-time folks because I know that's not the case. But it just seems more like, oh, this is part-time. Maybe they're not as, you know, committed, or maybe they're not as, you know, diving head first the way that the full-timers are, if that makes sense.
Right. And you're right. I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with like the dedication of the students. I think it's mostly just by the time you get there, your brain's fried from your day job, you know?
Oh, for sure.
And you have like 3 hours to get as much of your project done as possible and to absorb as much information as possible. It's hard almost to try to be a friend at the same time or try to make friends at the same time. But I do think it makes such a huge difference in your experience if you can do that. Have you found a way to be engaged and to try to build camaraderie in your own cohort? And if so, do you have any tips for a student figuring out how to navigate that without seeming obnoxious or something?
Yeah, so because I came from the full-time track and went to part-time, they actually pushed me back a cohort. And so because I had already gone through the material, I was actually able to help out more in the help channels and after hours. And so I know that when you teach something to somebody else, you know, it is more beneficial for you as the original learner, you know, to really solidify those concepts to memory. And so I took advantage of that, purely selfish, of course. I'm going to help you because it helps me, kind of a thing. But I did. And I, you know, people would come to me and ask questions, and I actually made a really good friend named Ariel, who I still talk to, even though we're not in the same cohort anymore. And we just kind of shared the struggle together. We went through everything together. We did the projects together. And it was great because he was one of those students that really goes above and beyond, not just meeting MVP or stretch, but even beyond that. And so not only was I able to help him meet his MVP goals, but he was also able to show me, you know, things like Material UI, things that I had never really used before. I'd always stuck with, you know, styled components. He showed me the different, you know, flags that you can use in Semantic UI. That was pretty fun. So yeah, it was really nice. I just try to be open and honest, and that's one thing that I've heard that I do well is just being me and being upfront about who I am. And being accessible as a person, just easy to talk to is what I've heard. So yeah, I just try to be me, and yeah, I tend to make some good friends. And even in the part-time, I was able to accomplish that. Just being open, being friendly, being welcoming, being understanding, and being patient for sure.
Yeah, that patience one is really hard. It's not, I mean, it's for me, it's not really hard for me to be patient with other people at school. I feel like that's a given. And I try not to be a jerk, right? but patience with myself when I'm doing the project and I'm not getting it, that's a very big skill that I've been having that you have to learn here in a way. Otherwise, you're never going to get done with a freaking project. And you gotta, it doesn't matter if you put out something perfect, you gotta put out something. You have to make some commits, right? Oh, man.
Absolutely. So I have a bit of an anecdote, actually. I was coding within, I think it was one of the first 2 or 3 weeks of JavaScript. It wasn't necessarily JavaScript week. So maybe it was React, you know, the first week of React. And I coded, I think, 16 hours that day. And I could not for the life of me figure out the problem. I was, you know, frustrated to tears. My boyfriend at the time said, hey, you know, why don't you step away? Just, you know, take a break. Let's play Xbox or something. Let's just hang out. So I did, went to bed. Woke up and I figured out the problem and the solution within 30 seconds. Literally, I woke up and it was just right there and I got it. And I was so upset with myself that I promised that from now on, I will follow that 20-minute rule, that it's not just malarkey. It is an actual thing that, hey, if you don't get it after 20 minutes, reach out for help and stop following my, you know, Jackie's 6-hour rule, because that one doesn't work.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad that you learn faster than me, because I personally tried the, you know, Ira's version of the 6-hour rule for months, like the entire experience until labs. I just had so much anxiety about asking questions on the internet. The internet for me is not associated with being a nice and accepting place. For me, I associate it with like people being really mad at you if you say the wrong thing. Especially when it comes to like technical stuff, because people are very particular about what they make and how they make it and the choices that they put into the things that they create. There's so much time and effort and love put into the work that it's easy to take it so seriously and to passionately back it up. But sometimes people's passion is interpreted to me as being mean.
Absolutely agree.
So I'm super sensitive, and for a really long time I was terrified of asking for help in the help channels, but I think they force you to do that on purpose, and it's so painful.
Absolutely. I can definitely relate to that one. On my first time asking a question, I was so timid and like a little mouse and just, hey, can I get help? And then a million people jumped on my post and said, how can I help? And it, just doing that one time, that breaking out of my shell, you know, and just mustering up the courage to just ask the one little question. And I ended up making a bunch of friends, and I actually reconnected with one during this build week, which was awesome, because I haven't seen him in a long time because I switched to the part-time cohort. And it's just been an incredible, you know, experience so far. And I'm so grateful to Lambda, really.
Yeah, one of the things you were talking about earlier was how you made a friend by helping another student debug things over and over again. And one of the things I thought was really interesting about that was that you said that same student who was really stuck on just meeting MVP on certain things was also the same student who was significantly more advanced than you in other areas of web development. So that student was both the one who had no idea what the answer was and at the same time was more experienced. And I just think that's really interesting, because just because you're asking a question doesn't mean that you don't know anything. Right.
Exactly. So one thing that I teach my students and really try to push is that even when, you know, we were pair programming one night in our TL group, actually, one person knew one thing that the other person didn't. they also, that second person was able to teach person A, if that makes sense, if you followed that kind of, that was kind of chaotic, but, you know, they were each able to bring something to the table. And that is one thing that I really like to, you know, kind of impress upon them, that it's like, hey, you know, just because you don't understand this thing doesn't mean that there's something else that you don't know, and vice versa with that other person. You may not be able to explain why this hook works, but you could easily explain why this for loop works, or when to use a map, or something like, whatever the case may be, you know more than you think you do. And that's what I think his issue was that he was trying so hard to, I guess, drill the material home or drive it home and really get it in there, that he would get himself frustrated, but then he was able to go through stretch and do other things. And so it was really struggling to watch, or it was a struggle, excuse me, to watch him sometimes, because I would say you're overthinking it. And I know that's a huge thing, but we all overthink it. You know, you look at a problem and you're like, oh, it's got to be this huge elaborate thing. And it's really not. It's two lines of code.
Oh my goodness, the amount of times where I'm like, oh, I have to manually do this and manually do that and manually do this, that I forget, like, A, the language comes with things built in because you're not the first developer in the world, right? And some other developer doesn't want to have to deal with writing the same thing over and over and over again. So they made a solution.
Exactly.
You should probably use it. Oh man, oh, yeah. Now all the array methods, like that, I'm looking at you. Looking at you, array methods.
Yes. Well, and that's so great about the whole developer industry in my mind, that there is that camaraderie of above, you know, within the industry itself. You know, I mean, if you think of, and this is not to bash any other industry, but if you think of the medical sciences, right, they patent them and they trademark these things, and there's not a whole lot of sharing. But when it comes to coding, you know, you write to help the next developer. Right? I mean, you develop something to help the next person, and it does. And we progress as an industry, as a team. And I've never experienced anything like that before. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
It's so interesting that you say that, because like when you think about the stereotype of what a developer is, the thing that comes to mind for most people is like someone who has no capacity to work on a team would almost prefer to be alone in a room with computers forever.
Agreed. Yeah. And that's when I get that a lot. You know, I have piercings and tattoos and colored hair, and they look at me and they say, you're not a developer. No. I mean, a developer isn't, you know, a weird dude sitting in his mom's basement, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's not some nerdy guy with, you know, a bunch of PCs. Everyone. No, it's a mom. You know, it's somebody who listens to German metal music. It's just, it's somebody who loves their animals. It's somebody who, you know, a former preschool teacher or a former, you know, veterinary nurse. It's people from all walks of life. You just have to be able to believe in yourself and put in the work to learn it. That's all.
Totally. So speaking of putting in the work, what is that? I mean, what do you mean by that? I think for me, I spent like 10 years of my life trying to figure out, why is it that I don't do what I want to, the things I think I should and I want to be doing? I geeked out on behavior for so long. And I'm just now getting into this point in my life where I'm actually like pretty productive and I feel really good about that. But part of it for me was I was so confused by a lot of the metaphorical language, like put in the work, that's the best example I can think of, just because that's the one you said. But if you were to explain to someone, like literally, you know, explain to me like I'm five, what does it mean to put in the work in the context of learning web development at Lambda?
Well, I am a firm believer that not just in Lambda, but in life itself, that you get out what you put into it. So the amount of effort that you put into it, the dedication that you put into it, is what in turn you will get back. And so what I mean is, if you're willing to put in those long hours to study, if you're willing to sit there and actually pay attention to the lecture, don't just sit there with your camera on, but actually listen, you know, ask the questions when you don't understand something, pair program, even though it may be embarrassing and it may get you out of your comfort zone, but do it, you know, put in the work. It's not going to be easy, but if you quote unquote put in the work, and you will get the benefit. You know, you'll understand the code a lot better. I mean, honestly, you're only hurting yourself if you don't ask the questions. At the end of the day, this is your career. This is your path. If you don't understand how something works and you go into a job interview and they're doing a coding challenge or something, and because you didn't ask that one day after lecture what it meant, you're now not able to pass that interview. So do yourself the favor, break out of your shell, get out of your comfort zone. You're going to be expected to do those things when you get into the workforce anyways. So might as well use it in a low risk, low stakes environment where nobody's going to judge you because we're all learning.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, it's a school. Literally nobody's allowed to be mean to you. And if someone is, they'll tattle, I'll tattle.
Yeah.
I really don't like when people are rude in the Slack at school. Again, just because being so sensitive was such a blocker for me that like, if I can make it so that other students who feel similar or are similarly sensitive, you know, that they can move through that much more quickly and not have to be worried about people being mean about, you know, what they might perceive to be their own stupidity or whatever, and when really it's just a blocker.
Absolutely. I do want to interject and just say one thing, though, that out of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students I've encountered over my bouncing around between cohorts, there have been only been a few grumpy people, let's call them.
Yeah, no, totally.
I feel like we've got a really good group of individuals. And yeah, every now and again, you'll get one bad egg or one sourpuss. But for the most part, everybody has been really incredible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's so much so that the school's been critiqued by outsiders and by an anonymous student source as being quote unquote culty. But honestly, like my experience of it, I grew up in an extremist religious environment that outsiders might perceive to be as a literal cult. So my experience of it has just been that everyone is so encouraging and over the top optimistic, just because the task that we're all undertaking is so difficult. It's so difficult that you need someone to be almost as exaggerative as a cheerleader, but they're cheering you on all the time for you to even finish. Because otherwise, personally, I would give up by now if it wasn't like that. I don't know if I had enough confidence or enough faith in my own capacity to learn. Nothing has forced me to actually like use learning methods like being at Lambda. As a student growing up, school was really easy for me. So I didn't have to try to study. I've never been in a situation where I didn't understand the material ever. That I don't mean that to be arrogant at all. It just means that the traditional school format was one that I was able to sort of float unscathed through, even if I didn't necessarily enjoy it behaviorally or wasn't very good at it in other ways, like time management. But I didn't really need to figure out my time management skills because I could blow through an essay in a couple hours the night before. But in Lambda, you can't really do that. One, because there is no like particular equivalent. The deadlines are work a little bit differently. It's a very different experience. And so I have to try. That sounds awful, but I have to try.
I understand. Yeah. I mean, I have tried in the past, you know, to, I guess, get into a groove that worked for me, and I just couldn't do it. I tried all of these different things in life, and, you know, I did the veterinary thing, and I tried, you know, XYZ, and I think I found my calling with Lambda, and I think maybe that's part of it. Maybe we were, you know, all just kind of floating around, not really knowing which way to go, and Lambda helped to kind of bring us back down to earth and say, here, here's a path for you, let's try it out. And it just seems to work because it does accept so many different walks of life. You know, one of my friends that I made, she's actually a TL, and it's in our group, actually. And it's great, as she was a former nurse, like an actual nurse, like human nurse, I guess, as opposed to veterinary.
Right.
And she, you know, there are people who, there's a kid in my group, and he is only 19, and he was going to be an auto mechanic, and now he's here. And it's just... It is accepting to everybody as long as you put the work in.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of my students, one of my previous students, she's no longer one of my students, but she's a grandma, right? Like, I know there's lots of parents there are a lot of parents, the amount of stand-up meetings I have where someone is sitting with a young child on their lap, you don't see that at regular schools or at work, in part because it's extremely less practical in other settings. Like, most people don't bring their babies to school. And in some cases, if they were to try to, they might be shunned or socially punished in some way, frowned upon or whatever. But you know, when you work from home, it's expected. People know that that's where families are. So it's not, you know, interruptions like that aren't really perceived as bad. It just is what it is, you know?
Right.
It's so fantastic. Like, the amount of times, like, my dogs interrupt everything. But, you know, we have a supervisor who refers to them as assistants, you know, so it's just, I don't need to feel embarrassed by my existence at this school or in this work environment, even if it's like, you know, trivial, but would otherwise just add up as small moments of embarrassment or small moments of, like, sort of pain. Sorry, there's construction outside as of right now. Earlier you were talking about, like, the importance of pair programming, the importance of asking questions and participating and helping others. One thing I noticed that you didn't really say as a tip for students is watching a lot of videos. I was wondering if that was on purpose or if that was a coincidence.
Actually, I learned this from you one afternoon when we were in before or after hours, but for some reason, and what you had said to the student was, and I'll allow you to say it because you worded it so much more eloquently than I do, but I just know from personal experience, when you are learning by doing, you learn a lot better. And that's basically how I took it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but, you know, just from what I know and what I've learned about behavior and the brain, I know that our working memory can only hold a certain amount of things, like 4 or 5 things. When you're first learning JavaScript, you don't see an if statement as one thing. You see it, all the symbols as, like, individual pieces of the syntax. So, like, that's a lot of information that you have to hold simultaneously. It's too much to even finish a thought before you have to look up something else. Like, you can't even write one thing without having to look up something a kajillion times. And so just by virtue of doing the behavior over and over again, you build up myelin around the nerve endings from your brain to your fingers. And then you'll get to a point where that typing action becomes autopilot, just like driving home from work. And you're like, oh, how did I get here alive? You're like, how did I finish this line? It's sort of like that. So you free up your brain's processing capacity for things that are more important than syntax. Like understanding where the data is moving, how the data is moving, the logic of your function or whatever.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was referring to. And it was funny because I kind of practiced that before, that, you know, I feel as if, I know myself personally, but I feel like everybody, you learn better when you do than just watching somebody else do. And so when you had said that afternoon in the after hours or before hours, whichever one it was, it really solidified that. And the whole time I thought, well, that's what I've been doing. I've just been practicing this. I just didn't know the science behind it. So I do appreciate that.
Oh yeah. I mean, thank you for actually doing it. Cause part of the reason why I geeked out on it and reading it all the time was that I didn't understand. I literally did not know, Jackie, how to quote unquote, just do things. I didn't understand the mechanism that connected the thought and the behavior. And it turns out there is no mechanism that connects the thought and the behavior, cause they're not connected things. They are two separate occurrences. At least that's what I'm sort of learning in my own personal experience. Like, you know, Hamlet with Shakespeare, his whole problem is that he thinks too much. And when he finally does act out on what he's thinking about, it's in the wrong place, the wrong time, right? So whereas, you know, there are other stories about the problems of not thinking enough, right? But I'm not saying don't use your brain. Use it in a very strategic, particular way. I don't know what I'm getting at, but you know what I mean, Jackie. Jackie's nodding, so that makes me feel better.
I do, I get it.
Thank you. So I have, I do have one more question. Pros, cons of part-time versus full-time. Do you regret it? would you recommend it?
I would recommend Lambda School a 1,000,000% all day long, forever, for always. And if they want to say it's a cult, then sign me up, because this cult has changed my life.
For real, same, honestly.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it has given me an opportunity that I could not have provided for myself or my daughter. And like I said before, I will be forever grateful. However, with the part-time versus full-time, I think when maybe I'm finished with my TL position, if it is at all possible, I would like to go back to full-time. Again, going back to that accountability and that structure, I have too much free time during the day. So during the day I TL, but if I weren't doing that, then I would have all the time in the world to just, you know, do whatever, play video games or run errands or sleep or whatever the case may be. And I know myself well enough that I would not choose to study. So being back in full time would again provide me that structure and that accountability to really fully utilize my days, as opposed to just kind of farting around.
Yeah, totally. There is significantly more structure in full time rather than part time by far. Even just like from the TL team perspective, like when I TL'd part time, it was very, very different than when I TL'd full time. The school is definitely built around the full-time curriculum and the full-time program, and the part-time is an aside. And I know that the school's like working on trying to change that. They're hiring a bunch of people for the student success team to create like their own part-time stuff. And in general, Austin, one of the founders of the school, has tweeted about one of the problems being that they can't hire fast enough to accommodate the growth and some of the desires or demands of us students, depending on how we phrase it when we, you know, when we ask about it. But yeah, I will say, like, if, as you said, that this school's really changed my life for the better. I mean, we're not even done yet, and I feel like I'm already reaping a lot of benefits for me personally. One thing, I guess, before we close our conversation, that I'd like to ask of you is if you have one takeaway from your experience at Lambda School for a prospective student or a current student, what do you think is like the most important thing that you've gotten out of being here?
To trust the process, I guess, that would be my biggest feedback, or my biggest, you know, takeaway. I was very reluctant in the beginning. I was overwhelmed. I thought, well, this doesn't make any sense. And it maybe it doesn't, maybe it won't. And I know that when I first started, we did the CSS, we did the HTML, then we did a little bit of JavaScript. And I thought, okay, well, this doesn't make sense. These aren't real, you know, applicable use cases. How am I expected to do something with this information? And then boom, we start React, and I'm building real world projects, and it all clicked for me. So that would be my biggest takeaway: trust the process.
Yeah, no, same. I it's interesting, actually, because I went through the same pattern of being cynical to being like, oh. And yes. I feel like we could do a whole episode on that process alone. So if you would like to come back sometime, just we'll talk about it in Slack. And I think that would be a really cool conversation to have if you're open to the idea.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, thank you, Jackie, for being a guest on Part-Time at Lambda School. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Ira, your host, and listen next time I put out an episode. Thanks. Have a good one.